तहि भवान योर ग्रेस भक्ति मता बाय द डिवोटी लभ्यः obtainable dulapha very difficult to be obtained sarvadehinam of all other living entities swarajyasya of the king of heaven api even Abhimataha, the ultimate goal, Ekantena, by oneness, Atmavit, of the self-realized, Gatihi, the ultimate destination. My dear Lord, the King in charge of the heavenly kingdom is also desirous of obtaining the ultimate goal of life, devotional service. Similarly, you are the ultimate destination of those who identify themselves with you. Aham Brahmasmi. However, it is very difficult for them to attain you, whereas a devotee can very easily attain your lordship. Report. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Vedeshu Dulabham, Adulabham, Atma Bhakto. This indicates that it is very difficult for one to attain the ultimate goal of life and reach the supreme destination by Kuntaloka or Goloka Vrindavan simply by studying Vedanta philosophy or Vedic literature. Can you just turn the master volume down like a couple of notches? It's just yeah, that's good. Thank you. No feedback. Or less feedback. However, so, first point here is very difficult to attain the ultimate goal of life just simply by studying the Vedas. Vedeshu dulabham. Adulabham atma bhakto, but easy for my devotee. This is Lord Brahma's realization from the Brahma Samhita. However, this highest perfectional stage can be attained by the devotees very easily. That is the meaning of Vedeshu Dulabham, Adulabham Atma Bhakto. The same point is confirmed by the Lord, by Lord Shiva in this verse. The Lord is very difficult for the Karma Yogis, Jnana Yogis and Dhyana Yogis to attain. Those who are Bhakti Yogis, however, have no difficulty at all. In the word Swarajasya, Swar refers to Swargaloka, the heavenly planet, and Swaraja refers to the ruler of the heavenly planet, Indra. Generally, Kamis desire elevation to heavenly planets. But King Indra desires to become perfect in Bhakti Yoga. Those who identify themselves as Aham Brahmasmi, I am the Supreme Brahman, one with the absolute truth, also ultimately desire to attain perfect liberation in the Vaikuntha planets or Goloka Vrindavan. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, text 55, it is said, Bhaktiyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato yadva vishate tad anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Thus, if one desires to enter into the spiritual world, he must try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by practicing bhakti yoga. Simply by practicing bhakti yoga, one can understand the Supreme Lord in truth. But without such understanding, one cannot enter the spiritual kingdom. One may be elevated to the heavenly planets, or may realize himself as Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi. But that is not the end of realization. One must realize the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by bhakti yoga. Then, real perfection of life is attained. Om Agyana Timirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Kuruti Vatsalam Pankum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Okay. Vedeshu Dulabham. Very interesting. Very difficult to understand Krishna by just studying the Vedas. So then one might say, well, why do we study the Vedas then? If it's difficult to understand Krishna by a study of the Vedas, then why do we study the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam and the corollary, the supporting literatures? Why? Why do we do that? That's a reasonable question to ask, isn't it? And yet, here, adulabham, no difficulty. Adulabham, no difficulty for Atma Bhakto, for my devotee, Krishna says. For my devotee, there's no difficulty. How many of you believe that? No difficulty for the devotees to know Krishna. What do you think? Anybody here experience difficulty performing bhakti? Okay. So, what's going on here? Now, we do study the bhakti shastra. But we do study the bhakti shastra. We don't study all of the Vedas, but we have our focus very finely tuned or very finely focused on certain literatures of the Vedas, right? Not just all of the Vedas, because actually you can read the Vedas and become thoroughly confused, right? You can even hear from various commentaries and various commentators and become thoroughly confused. What? Even you can read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam and become confused. Right? Or even have grave doubts about the process of bhakti. So it's also not enough just to study the bhakti shastra. It is very important. We already discussed this previously. I gave class just the other day. These points still bear repeating or reiteration. Right, we were talking about the four secrets, if you like, or the four characteristics that a devotee needs to have in order to be successful in bhakti. Right? And one of them is to be faithful, or to have faith in the shastra, and even to have faith in the Vedas. Right? That one has to understand the purport of the Vedic literature. And so one has to have some faith, one has to have complete faith actually, in the process, and one has to hear with that faith, with strong faith, but hear from the right person. Right? Hear from the spiritual master, the guru. Then everything becomes very easy. And that's why, you know, we study Srila Prabhupada's books and we study Srila Prabhupada's purports, because Srila Prabhupada gives us a very, very clear understanding of the process of bhakti. So one has to have faith, one has to hear from the right person, and also one has to be inquisitive. Right? We have to ask the right questions. And I mentioned this the other day. Prabhupada mentions that we hear that we're not the body, that we're spiritual by nature. And this is another characteristic, the fourth characteristic. And so let's not jump ahead. First characteristic is to be faithful. Second character, and to hear from the right person with that strong faith, and to be inquisitive. So we inquire from the spiritual master. Why? We take initiation, actually. Upadesh, to come closer to the spiritual master. Why? And why come close to the spiritual master? Who can say? Why do we come? Why should we come close to the spiritual master?
Closer to come closer to Krishna.
Yes, not wrong, but not the answer that I'm looking for. That's a consequence. But why come close to the spiritual master?
For the guidance.
Huh?
For the guidance.
Guidance. Yes, for the guidance, for the instruction. Right? And this is very important. The Upanayanam ceremony means coming close. Coming close to the spiritual master. And why is coming close to the spiritual master important? Because he's going to tell you what to do. Because that's a good reason why many of us stay away. Right? You know, I have the experience, devotees come to me and they say, oh, Aniruddha Prabhu, you know, I want to get my Brahman initiation, what can I do? Then I tell them what I want them to do, and then I don't see them again for quite a while. So this is one of the dangers of coming close to the spiritual master, is that you're going to be told to do things that you don't want to do. Right? You'll have to do things that you don't want to do. You'll have to give up things that you want to keep. This is mentioned. This is part, very early on, this is part of the 64 items of bhakti. Actually, when I think about it. That are mentioned by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Right? We come close to the spiritual master, then we have to be prepared to be asked to give up things. And so this is the fourth item, of success, if you like, as a devotee. So faithful, inquisitive, what did I say before? Faithful, inquisitive. What's the next one?
Service.
No, that's not it. No. It'll come to me. It's not very good when you forget the points that you're teaching, is it? As a result of approaching the spiritual master and asking the right questions, you should gain what?
Knowledge.
You do. Knowledge. Over here, getting the right answers. Have you read the Bhagavatam? You must have. A little bit. Enough. Yes, knowledgeable. One should be knowledgeable. And then when one's knowledgeable, Prabhupada says, that means you understand that you're not the body. The next qualification that should come from knowledge is detachment. So these are the four. Be faithful, be inquisitive, to be knowledgeable. We should have some learning. This is why we study the Vedas. Right? It's knowledge. Right? And then from that knowledge should come detachment. Devotees should be detached. Right? So we study the Vedas, or that portion of the Vedas, just like it's mentioned in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Nigama Kalpataro Galitam Palam, the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge, the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita. So it's not just any part of the Vedas that we study, but we study specifically that shastra that supports the understanding of bhakti and pure bhakti. Why? As Prabhupada points out here, it's only by bhakti that one can know Krishna. It's only by bhakti, and this is really the point. There's an emphasis here on bhakti, right? Pavan bhakti mata labhyo. Your grace is achieved by bhakti mata. Right? Or Bhakti Man. Who's that? Who's the Bhakti Mata? It's translated here, the devotee. Right? Bhakti is so powerful that it can even bring Krishna under control. And Krishna is the most powerful, who is Ajita, unconquerable. Right? Krishna's unconquerable. Yet, he can be conquered by his devotee. Huh? We see that with Srimati Radharani. She's always in a mood of service, right? And so this is the interesting quality of a devotee. The devotee doesn't want to control Krishna. The devotee only wants to what?
Serve.
The devotee only wants to serve. But because of that service, Krishna feels obliged to the devotee. Right? There's Krishna's kripa, his mercy, but at the same time, there's also the effort of the devotee in the relationship, right? So the devotee is always feeling how merciful Krishna is, but he's also putting in the effort, and so Krishna is inclined to want to serve his devotee. And this was mentioned in the previous purport. How to conquer Krishna? The devotee can do it. And how does he do it? How does the devotee do it?
Surrender.
Surrender, yes. Follow the process of bhakti. Right? That's why we study the bhakti shastra, why we study the Bhagavatam. And it was very interesting, Prabhupada mentioned in the purport the other day, that Krishna appears, Krishna is the guru of everybody. Right? Krishna is the guru of everyone. And we see that in his recitation of the Bhagavad Gita, for example. We see that in, and so that's Krishna speaking, but then there's also the Bhagavatam, which is only speaking about Krishna. And Prabhupada made the interesting comment, and why, this is why Burijan Prabhu calls his first book of the Bhagavatam Unveiling His Lotus Feet. Right? Because Prabhupada mentions in a couple of purports ago that if a person thoroughly studies and understands the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1 and Canto 2, that's Krishna revealing his lotus feet. Right? And that if one studies the first and second canto of the Bhagavatam and has done it correctly or properly, then all of his or her ignorance will be dissipated. This is the end result of studying the first and second canto of the Bhagavatam, is that all of your ignorance should be dissolved. Huh? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? When you think about it. Of course, you know, we have to be careful because we're so conditioned, we read the first and second canto of the Bhagavatam, but we're still in ignorance sometimes. Right? So this is just a measure of our agyana, right? Our ignorance. So we shouldn't think, you know, oh, I've read the first and second canto of the Bhagavatam, now I'm a pure devotee. Right? And even a pure devotee thinks, well, I'm not very advanced. This is a mood of a devotee. But anyway, very important point. It's very difficult to get a proper understanding of Krishna by studying the Vedas. But it's very easy for the devotees, because the devotees focus on the bhakti portion of the Vedas, that which teaches pure devotional service. Right? Prabhupada says, the Lord is very, in this purport, the Lord is very difficult for the Kami, Jnani, and Jnana Yogi to attain. Right? Why? The Kama Yoga Yogi is looking for what? Usually, Prabhupada mentions here.
Mm-hmm.
For what?
Elevation to
the heavenly planets. Or some similar, you know, live in Albert Park. Drive a Maserati or a Bentley. Bentley? Is it Bentley?
Yeah.
There's one down the road. I know where they are. Albert Park is a nice place to live. It's like the heavenly planets. Bit cold. Actually, the only reason why it's like the heavenly planets is because Radha Balaba is here. This is the real reason. So, material benefit, basically. And elevation of the heavenly planets is like the epitome of material advancement. Okay. What about the Jnana Yogi? What are they looking for? Prabhupada emphasizes this point in the purport. What are they looking for?
Imagine.
You have to speak louder.
The
Aham Brahmasmi. Yes, I am Brahman. I am equal to the Supreme, so therefore I am the Supreme. This is the idea. I'm as good as God, and so therefore I can enjoy just as God, and whatever I do is godly in the pursuit of enjoyment. And so we see very often in the impersonal sects that it degenerates into, you know, just doing welfare work and even just enjoying, actually, like a materialist. So, and the jhana yogis, what are the jhana yogis, what do they hope to attain? What are they meditating on? Usually.
Mystic power.
Mystic power, yes. Yeah, quite possible, yeah. Yes, yeah, mystic power. Well, who else are they meditating on? If they're not meditating on the Brahman, who are they meditating on? I'll give you a hint within the heart.
Super soul.
Super soul. Yeah. Meditating on the super soul. But Prabhupada says here, the Lord is very difficult to obtain for these persons. But here, and this is a very interesting statement, that's why I asked. Those who are bhakti yogis, however, have no difficulty at all. Well, how come it's such a struggle? Why is that, do you think? What does that indicate if it's a struggle for us? What does that indicate? Lack of understanding, yes. Yeah, what else might it be?
Not following the process,
yes.
How much we're in attached to other things.
That's right, how much we're karmis, gyanis and janis. We're not actually bhaktas. Because if we were a bhakta, and according to Prabhupada, no difficulty at all. So that means I must not be a devotee, or a very good devotee, right? This is why cultivation of knowledge is important, by studying the Bhakti Shastri. Right? Why we have such a thing as a Bhakti Shastri? Prabhupada wanted. You know what? One of the reasons why Prabhupada wanted Bhakti Shastri qualifications. Anybody know why Prabhupada wanted Bhakti Shastri qualifications in the members of his society?
Teaching.
Yes. What else?
To continue what he
started. Yes. Yes. But what else? A more important reason. More critical reason. He did want those. That's true. But what else?
Progress in spiritual
realization. Yes, he did want that. What did Prabhupada see in his disciples?
Yes.
But what did Prabhupada see in his disciples?
Not reading.
They weren't reading the books, and as a consequence, what was happening? They were falling down. Yeah.
Full surrender.
Yes. He wanted full surrender. In other words, you know, full engagement in the processes of bhakti. Shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu smaranam, pada sevanam. Right? Hearing, which is part of that. Being faithful to the process. Hearing from the right sources and inquiring. What about all of this knowledge? What does it mean to be a devotee? Eh? What does it mean for a devotee? It is not difficult at all to attain Krishna. Ooh, that's pretty far out. Right? You know, there are some times when bhakti is just so easy. It's like falling off a log. Right? But then there are other times when it's so difficult. It's a struggle.
I had a dream yesterday morning. I was with Adi Keshava Maharaj, a devotee that I don't really even know. We were in a temple somewhere. You know, anybody have these dreams early in the morning before you wake up? And you dream of the devotees? Not yet. And look, this doesn't make me a great devotee, you know. It's just a dream that I had. But it was really interesting how I was playing a mridanga. We were in a kirtan, and somebody else was, I can't remember who else was leading the kirtan. He said, when I was a young man serving Prabhupada, I felt so confident and so proud of my abilities. This is what he said. And then, at that part of the dream, I looked up and then I could see right down the end of the temple. We were in a temple room, I think like New Vrindavan. And I could see Radha and Krishna. I thought, wow, far out, there's Radha and, you know, just concentrating on the deities. And at that point, then I was leading the kirtan, but then I stopped. And so he said, can I have the mridanga? Anyone? And so I wake up feeling extremely blissful. Right? And then went off and chanted my rounds and felt very happy. Right? Have any of you ever felt very happy just being a devotee?
Yes.
Huh? Chanting Hare Krishna and serving, and you feel happy. Then the next day, or even just a few hours later, you're struggling. Struggling to read or struggling to do your service. So much for my great dream and being a Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa in the morning, you know, mudha at night. But anyway, this is why Prabhupada wanted us to read and study his books. So that we would understand very clearly. This is why Bhakti Shastri is so important. To be a Bhakti Mata, right? To have the intelligence and have the mind and have the mood and the feeling of a devotee. It's because, you know, a devotee is not a cheap thing. Neither is it an insignificant thing. This is why we respect the devotees so much. We offer our obeisances to all of the devotees. We have etiquettes of respect for the seniors. Why? They've been devotees for so long. We should honour that. Right? This is one of the learning of a devotee, the renunciation of a devotee, even just the seniority of a devotee. We have these etiquettes recommended, you know, recommended by who? Srila Prabhupada, obviously, but Rupa Goswami tells us we should be able to discriminate between who's who as a devotee. Right? So that we can, and there's a good reason for that also, so we can know who we should be studying with and hearing from. Right? When you think about it. This is part of this inquisitiveness, and with knowledge comes discrimination. Why we study the Brahma Samhita for a start, because here's the deepest realizations of the leader of the devotees, practically speaking, Lord Brahma, the leader of the whole planet, not planet, universe. We hear from him. And Prabhupada says, in the previous paper, Prabhupada says, if we're a bhakti yogi and we follow the process of bhakti, then we will see Krishna face to face. Ooh, that's pretty far out when you think about it. Right? So the, the, The character of a devotee needs to be understood. And this is why we study the Bhakti Shastra, because the Bhakti Shastra, the Srimad Bhagavatam especially, gives us all of this information by example. We hear about the pastimes of devotees like Maharaj Chitraketu. Right? Why is Maharaj Chitraketu an interesting example of a devotee, do you think? Anybody know Maharaj Chitraketu? What's one of his characteristics? One of his interesting characteristics? What did he become? A demon. He fell down. Prabhupada mentions that even if a devotee falls down, he still doesn't lose faith in Krishna. And we see that in the character of Maharaj Chitraketu. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? He's a demon, yet he's still a devotee. So that actually that's to give us hope. Right? To give us encouragement. So many examples in the Bhagavatam of the character and the qualities. Even who are some very famous other devotees who were demons in the Bhagavatam? Very famous. Even Srimati Radharani worships some of these personalities, interestingly enough. Who's one of them? His name starts with P.
Prahlad.
Yes, Prahlad Maharaj. Right? Of course, Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee through and through. He just happened to be unfortunately born in Hiranyakashipu's family. That's all. Why was he a great devotee? Why was Prahlad Maharaj a great devotee? I didn't hear that. What did you say?
When Prahlad Maharaj was small, he used to hear about the Lord, the Supreme Lord.
Yes. Who did he hear from?
Narada
Muni. In the womb of his mother. Right? So again, coming back to hearing, right? Hearing. Bhakti starts with hearing. He didn't get an opportunity to ask many questions, but he was completely purified in the womb of his mother. Bali Maharaj, another demon, the king of the demons, harassed all of the demigods. Amazing. So, you know, the quality of bhakti is very interesting. Quality, the characteristics and the qualities of a devotee are very... The potency of bhakti is very powerful, because as Prabhupada says here, a devotee can very easily obtain Krishna without any difficulty. And he gives a couple of examples, the example of Indra. Indra is embarrassed by his material desires, just as we all are. Right? He's characterized as being very what?
Proud.
What else? Lusty. And you know, there's a story, an interesting story. How did Lord Indra get a body full of eyes? You know that story? A very interesting story. Which I probably, I won't, well. But anyway, go and have a look at the story of Lord Indra and how he got this, so many eyes on his body. They weren't originally eyes. Right? It's an almost pornographic story when you think about it. But the Bhagavatam emphasizes some of these points. Why? Because a devotee is meant to be desireless. Right? That doesn't, well, that doesn't mean desire free in one sense. But the non-material desires, the desires that we have, they're dovetailed so that it's for pleasing Krishna. We have desire. You can't get rid of desire. Just like you can't stop your mind. And the mind is the source of desire. Or not so much the source of desire, but within the mind we realize, we observe, we discover the impetus or the push, the drive for action. Huh? We all have to act. There's nobody, and we all we're forced to act, we're forced to think. And so therefore, the devotee is taught, you can't get rid of desire, you can't stop thinking, but our desires, we dovetail or we change desire so that the desire, and this is why hearing from the devotees is so important, it's why hearing from the Bhagavatam is so important, because we learn to absorb and immerse our consciousness in the activities and the thoughts and the actions of a devotee. Very powerful. I remember going to the temple in Frome Street in Adelaide, and I would spend time with Guru Mandala Bhumi, who eventually went to Indonesia to preach in 1978. I was just becoming a devotee. So I wanted to wear all devotional clothes, and he was going to Indonesia to preach, and he needed some what we call kami clothes, pants and shirt and whatever. So I gave him the clothes that I had that I wanted to renounce, and he took them and went to preach in Indonesia. And of course, the rest is history. A lot of devotees all over Indonesia now. But the thing that struck me was, he would only talk about Krishna. I would want to talk about some mundane thing that I had, you know, was interested in or had come across or whatever, and I'd mention it and he wouldn't respond. He would only talk about Krishna. Huh? And that struck me. I thought, what's wrong with this guy? Why don't he loosen up a bit? But I learned a lesson. The character or the quality of a devotee is that he always thinks about and he always talks about Krishna. This is why it's important to hear from the right devotees, Prabhupada says. So, Indra is an example. He's the king of heaven, and yet he's embarrassed by his material desires. He wants to be a pure devotee. Even the jnanis, or those who know that they're aham brahmasmi, they still want to go to the highest platform, which is, yes, aham brahmasmi, but as aham brahmasmi, as spirit soul, what is the real qualification or the real characteristic of the spiritual being? It's to be a servant. To be a servant of Krishna, or more importantly, a servant of Krishna's devotees. This is how we become a servant of Krishna. Why? And why association with the bhaktas, or here the bhakti mata? Right, and this is what the verse says: "Svarajyasyapi abhimata." The king of heaven wants this position, to be a servant of the devotees. So how important is it to associate with the devotees? How important is it to be a devotee? If the king of heaven, this is where all of the karma yogis want to be, on the heavenly planets, but the king of the heavenly planets, he's already there, he wants to be a devotee. Huh? So we need to learn a lesson from Indra. We need to learn a lesson from those who understand aham brahmasmi. That aham brahmasmi means dasosmi. I'm a servant. And you know, the process of bhakti needs to be understood. This is why Prabhupada wanted study of the bhakti shastra, because he could see that his disciples weren't able to stick to the process. And as John said, didn't understand it. Didn't understand its value. And also that it's not a cheap thing to become a devotee. It requires a great deal of application and surrender. And of course that surrender, as you mentioned, that surrender requires detachment. Detachment from the material activities and from material things, material considerations, and the cultivation of pure devotional service. Abhyam, what is it? Without attachment to karma or jnana. Abhya bilasita sunyam. Jnana kama anubritam. Without these coverings of karma and jnana, but with the motivation of pure bhakti. That is, a desire simply Krishna anushilanam, to please Krishna. That's why we study the Bhagavatam, because the characteristic or the quality of the bhaktas illustrated in the Bhagavatam is their only desire is to serve. Just like Maharaj Parikshit, you know, right at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says there's no difficulty for a devotee, but Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die. Huh? He's going to die within 7 days. So we'd be thinking, whoa, that's terrible. Huh? How would you feel? Actually, I just had I just got a message from Anadi. Anadi Krishna, you remember Anadi? Were you here? Gopi went, no. Anadi is a really, quite a unique character. But he wrote to me and he said, I've just been diagnosed with ALS. Lou Gehrig's disease, which is an autoimmune disease where the body starts to attack itself. Motor neuron disease, they call it. So you gradually lose control of your ability to speak. The first symptoms are you start to trip over things. You can't manage your motor neuron system. So he told me, he said, I'm feeling a little depressed at the moment. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, it's at times like these that our bhakti is tested. It's like prana, he got diagnosed. How did you feel? You're not the body. It's a challenge, isn't it? When you're faced with a life-threatening disease, it's a huge challenge. How did Maharaj Parikshit respond? How did he respond? By Krishna's arrangement, what happened? All of the yogis and rishis came from all over the universe to be with him for a start. That's like, wow. And then in the midst of that gathering, Sukadeva Goswami appeared. Right? And Sukadeva Goswami, with no clothes on, you know, being heckled by unqualified people. Right? But yet when they saw him, then this is the interesting thing about a devotee. We have to be careful about judging them from the external point of view. Right? There's an old saying, don't judge a book by its cover. My dad used to take us to the library. Every Tuesday night, my brothers and I would be taken to the library. And we had to choose three or four books that we would then take home and read, and then next, we had no television. No television in our house. My dad said, television rots your brains. I've told this story before. My father taught in country schools, and then we went to Elizabeth where all the kids were watching television because TV was everywhere in the city. And my dad was having difficulty teaching the kids because they couldn't focus. Whereas it was easy to teach the country kids because they didn't watch television. Well, and when we closed the school at New Nundagram, a credit to Prana, because he was teaching there. Were you teaching it? Yeah. And, Sudama and all those guys went to the Lawn High School. And the teacher was saying how much he loved the Hare Krishna kids because at least they could, when she'd asked them, what were we doing yesterday, they could tell her. Right? The other kids couldn't remember. Kids couldn't remember what they were doing yesterday. Right? So this is the benefit of it. So my father took us every Tuesday. We'd go to the library and we'd have to choose a book. And of course, you know, there's all these books in the library. And I think, which one am I going to choose? So I'd ask my dad, what should I read, Dad? And so my dad would pick out a book and he'd give me the book and he'd say, here, this is a good book. And I'd look at the cover and I'd say, no, that's no good. That's not a good book. Nah, I'm not going to read that. So you have to be careful. Sukadeva Goswami appeared on the scene. But those who were in the know, those who understood the real science of physiognomy, they could understand that he is a very elevated personality. Right? And so Maharaj Parikshit, you know, there was a conversation, who should we hear from? But everybody recognized. And, you know, Vyasadeva, his father, was there. There were so many elevated persons, but they installed Sukadeva Goswami on the asana. And Maharaj Parikshit then took advantage of the fact that he was surrounded by so many great saintly personalities that he had Sukadeva Goswami to inquire from. And so rather than lament about his material situation, he inquired about his spiritual identity and what really the question was, you know, what should a person do at the time of life when they're going to leave their body? Right? What should they do? And there was a response. Etanna vidyamananam akuto, was it achuta, akuto bhayam. You know, the fearless take shelter of hearing and chanting and hearing the messages. So, this is the basis and why Prabhupada wanted us to study the behavior and characteristics of the devotees as they're presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam, to hear the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, so that we would easily attain Krishna. Instead of hanging on to our material attachments and our material desires, that we've, and as Gopi Vrindesh mentioned yesterday, you know, we've been serving our mind and our senses for so many lifetimes, and have we got any thanks for it? And have we been successful? We're still suffering. Huh? We're still feeling the pangs of material existence. So Maharaj Parikshit is a good example. From a material calculation, it would seem like he was suffering the greatest difficulty. Right? He's been cursed to die. Right? But no. Great opportunity to forget about everything material and let me now just concentrate on who I really am and who what I should really be doing with my life. This is what Lord Indra wants. This is the goal of the Brahmavadis. Actually, it's the goal of everybody. The Kamis, the Gyanis, the Jhanis, the King of Heaven, the Yogis, is to achieve the greatest achievement that one could possibly aspire for and attain. And actually, it's done simply by bhakti. Bhakti is so simple, sometimes it eludes us. Again, another reason why to hear about people like Maharaj preach it, hear about Prahlad Maharaj. Right from the womb, Prahlad Maharaj was preaching. Right? As soon as he was in school, he was preaching to his friends. His father said to him, "What's the best thing that you've learned?" Right? So he wanted some political science or some, you know, social science on how to be successful. But Prahlad Maharaj said, the most important thing that I've learned is that one should give up everything material and go to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna. Basically, that's what he said. And even, it's described as Srimati Radharani hears these pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj. Interesting. How important is the mood and mentality of a bhakta? It's so important that Lord Brahma says, adulabham, that which is difficult to achieve is easy for the devotee. Krishna is easily attained. And Prabhupada's supporting that statement here. One may be elevated to the heavenly planets or may realize himself as Brahman, but that is not the end of realization. One must realize the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by bhakti yoga, then real perfection of life is attained. So what is it? The qualification of a devotee, it's actually very simple, very easy. But without that bhakti, we can't attain Krishna. So we need to study. We study the Vedas with an eye on finding out the qualities and the characteristics of bhakti and how to imbibe that same mood and have the same qualities and the same qualifications as the very advanced devotees as we're exploring and discovering here. So does anybody have any comments or questions?
Why?
That's a good question. The beauty of the lotus feet of the Lord is compared to the petals of a lotus flower, which grows in the autumn season. By nature's law, in autumn, the dirty or muddy waters of rivers and lakes become very clean. At that time, the lotus flowers growing in the lakes appear very bright and beautiful. The lotus flower itself is compared to the lotus feet of the Lord, and the petals are compared to the nails of the feet of the Lord. The nails of the feet of the Lord are very bright, as Brahma Samhita testifies. Ananda Chinmaya Saduj Vala Vigrahasya. We chant that every morning. Angani Yasya Sakalin Priti Manti. Every limb of the transcendental body of the Lord is made of Ananda Chinmaya Sad Ujwala. Thus, every limb is eternally bright. As sunshine dissipates the darkness of this material world, the effulgence emanating from the body of the Lord immediately dries up the darkness in the heart of the conditioned soul. Okay, so why? And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, for example, it says, and in other places, if you chant the holy name of the Lord, then automatically you eradicate the effect of more sins than you can commit. Right? And it's not unusual for us to experience prema bhakti when we're chanting Hare Krishna, like in a kirtan. Right? But then why is it so difficult to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning? If we're, one moment we're a prema bhakta, the next moment we're a tamaguna. Why is that? Pundits, tell us. Why is it?
Because we are still conditioned.
Yeah, conditioned souls. Nitya Buddha. Right? We think for a moment that we're Nitya Mukta. But then our behavior reveals who we really are. Right? And so this is why, and it's very interesting, you know, this is a quandary for me that I'm tussling with. I'm going to talk about it with some senior devotees. Oh, I'll talk about it with you. You're all senior devotees. Lord Chaitanya did not talk about intimate Krishna Leela with the general populace. Right? He didn't. He talked basic philosophy. And you see that with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada in his... You've heard me say this before, Gopi Vrindesh and others. But it's an interesting quandary. Because, you know, we have classes, there are appearance days of different personalities, and we talk about their pastimes. But it's interesting to note that Srila Prabhupada didn't do that. He stuck very strictly to what Lord Chaitanya did. And Lord Chaitanya, generally, to the general populace, he spoke Bhagavad Gita philosophy. Right? Isn't it? Very basic philosophy. Now, and some people think, oh, Prabhupada didn't give us the topmost. Interesting. They say, oh, he didn't give us the topmost instruction. Well, hang on a second. Prabhupada must have known who he was preaching to. Right? And there must have been a reason why he did that. And that's because, you know, we tend to think that we're more advanced than we really are. And so that's why we need to hear the basic philosophy and get that in our heads first. Forget about all this highfalutin stuff. Let's just do the basics, because we discover that bhakti is difficult. But bhakti's not difficult, actually. It's difficult if you're a karmi, jnani, jnani, whatever. Prabhupada says. Right? And so therefore, you know, why do we need to keep hearing the basics? Because we haven't even digested that yet. We might have heard it, we have heard it, but we still find ourselves attached or attracted to other things. Right? Just like when I walk around Albert Park and then I see a Bentley and I think, ooh, that's a pretty cool car. Right? That means, you know, the little boy who wanted to collect, you know, hundreds of dinky toys is still thinking about dinky toys. Right? I should be jumping for joy that I've got a Toyota. At least that's what they tell me. But I'm not. I want a Maserati or this or that or the other thing. That's not the mood of a devotee. What did Prabhupada say about the Rolls Royce? When they picked him up at the airport in a Rolls Royce, what did Prabhupada say? This is just a tin can. So what are you being, why are you being picked up in a Rolls Royce? Who do you think you are? Do you think you're God? But Prabhupada set them straight. He said, first of all, this is just a tin can. And I'm not God. I'm the representative of God. And like a, you know the story? Prabhupada said, like a tax man, I collect, just as a tax man collects taxes on behalf of the king, I collect obeisances. So Prabhupada's job was collecting obeisances. But Prabhupada never thought that those obeisances were for him. Just as a tax collector should not think that the money that he collects belongs to him. We see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita what happens if you take the money that belongs to the king. Then the king eventually catches up with you and puts you, you know, you're going to get punished, right? So Prabhupada knew those obeisances are not for me, they're for Krishna. Nice story. But Prabhupada said, this is not a wonderful, you know, device, this Rolls Royce. It's just a tin can. If you're greeting the representative of God, it should have diamonds and rubies and jewels, and it should be much more opulent than a Rolls Royce. What is this Rolls Royce? So, no material attachments. That's amazing. And we still have those material attachments. And that's why we need to absorb ourselves continuously in the culture or the cultivation of bhakti and hearing the basic philosophy, not the elevated, not too elevated, you know, Leela and especially Radha and Krishna. Otherwise, we can very easily become sahajas. And what's revealed then is, you know, we like to talk about highfalutin philosophy, but we still attach to our material prestige and position and other, you know, things. Whereas a devotee is not meant to be attached to those things at all. And so that's why hearing some of the very, very basics of bhakti and making sure we thoroughly digested that and then put it into practice. And that's why then service is so important. Actually rendering service and very menial service is really good for us as devotees. You know, so you come to the devotees and you say, Prabhu, what would you like to do for me? And they'll say, oh, give me one more gulab jamun or whatever. And then you're submitting to their... And what other service? Go and clean the courtyard. Oh, do I really have to go and clean the courtyard? Right? To be a devotee means you do whatever the devotees ask you to do. Right? Clean the toilets. This is good. If you really want to test somebody, sincerity, they say, can I do some service, Prabhu? Say, yeah, go and clean the toilet. Go and clean the brahmachari's toilet. What? Go and clean the kitchen. Well, I don't clean the kitchen. I'm a preacher. But do it. And it's really good because you have to do what you're told. When a guru asks you to do something and it's a menial thing. And you know, look at the... was it Lokanath? Lokanath Maharaj? Narottam. Was it Narottam? What did he do? He cleaned the air. He wouldn't... His guru wouldn't accept him as a disciple. He said, I'm not having any disciples. But then when he discovered that his disciple was cleaning the area where he would perform his daily ablutions, and eventually over time, and this is how one becomes obliged, or how Krishna becomes obliged to you by the rendering of service. Krishna becomes, Krishna is unconquerable. Loganath Maharaj was determined, I'm not going to have any disciples. But because of the service of his disciple, then he became obliged to him and accepted him as a, well, he took on the role as his guru, right? So that's, the service is so important because it tests one's sincerity and it purifies us of these material attachments. So the more menial the service, the better it is. You know, devotees want to sit on the Vyasasana and tell everybody what to do. But they won't do what you tell them to do unless you're prepared to do it yourself. We really do have to start from the scrubbing the pots, cleaning the toilets area first. It's good for us. It's actually very, very healthy to do those menial tasks because that really then tests the service attitude. Right? And that's the Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga, or here the Bhakti Mata, or the Bhakti Man. The devotee who has bhakti does any old service. Well, not any old service, but certainly in the beginning, humble, menial service. So we're having a Board of Education meeting today. One of the things that we're planning is service learning. So, you know, if you're studying the Bhakti Shastri, you'll also have some service learning. Right? Service learning. So along with, you know, studying, because we think, oh yes, we studied the Shastra, now I'm a Bhakti Shastri, I can be a Brahmana. Right? But learning is good, but Vigyan, putting it into practice. And putting it into practice means doing some menial service for the devotees or for Krishna. So service is a part of it. And it's interesting, in the Bhakti Shastri, Prabhupada wanted the Archana Padati taught, the deity worship. We don't; it's not part of the curriculum of Bhakti Shastri. But in Melbourne, we'll be adding it. We'll be adding it into the system. So it's not just, oh, Prabhu, I've got my Bhakti Shastri degree, now I can speak. Right? It's not just a piece of paper. But it's also your service, our not yours, but our service attitude is a real measure of our bhakti. And, you know, our detachment. And so that's faithfulness, inquisitiveness, learning, and then from learning comes detachment. Right? And a symptom of detachment is how much I put aside to serve Krishna and not my own personal requirements. And that's what's being tested. When we have difficulty in performing bhakti, usually because we have to give up something material that we're a bit attached to.
What is that something?
So many things. Each one of us has in their heart of hearts a few little material desires that we've been cherishing and polishing and looking after for lifetimes, right? So it'd be impertinent of me to tell you what it is. And also, I can't see it. Sometimes you can't see it. You can't even see it within yourself sometimes. Right? And it comes out. And then you realise, oh no. Look who I am. That's why Majjhim Bhakta, you see, Kanishtha Adhikari thinks, I'm the best devotee. But as a devotee makes advancement, then he realizes, I am not the best devotee. Right? And so that's looking inwards, looking into the heart, and why we have a Varnashram system, by the way. Because there are certain, you know, there are certain proclivities that we have that we need to meet. So marriage and ashram and varna and ashram means occupation and ashram. So we need to take care of those so that our bhakti can make progress. We need to be able to understand maturely. Okay, I've got some needs, right? Artha. And they have to be met, because if they're not met, what happens? You go nuts. You become a disturbance in society. Right? That's not unusual. It's normal, in fact. And so they need to be met in the appropriate way, so that we can then make progress in our internal development and start to remove those anattas gradually, right? It's going to be different for everybody. Why we need a spiritual master, why we need to be close to the spiritual master, so the spiritual master can see who we are and then give right advice. So let's not worry about what they are, let's work out how we are able to find out what they are. That's the process of bhakti. Looking inside and, ooh, ouch, what's that doing there? I've got to get rid of that. How am I going to do it? Yeah. And Srimatam Sva Katha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hiya Bhadrani Vidhunoti, isn't it? By hearing Srimatam Sva Katha Krishna, by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, then the abhadra, the inauspicious things within the heart are removed. And by the first and fully a proper understanding of the first and second canto, which might take some time, it's not just the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam is not complete until those things are eradicated from the heart. And so it's not just a mere reading of the pages of the Bhagavatam that gets us to understanding them. It's hearing the instructions of the Bhagavatam and then putting them into practice so that our heart can be purified. Right? And that requires hearing and then inquiry. Then once you've heard, what do?
Then ask the questions.
Yeah, yes. You've asked questions, you've got the answers, then what do?
Follow.
Seva. So, and this is in the Bhagavad Gita. Pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. Service. Right? So, humble, inquiry, and then service. Critical. Our process is dynamic. It's not just hearing philosophy. Got it. I know everything. I read the first and second canto of the Bhagavatam. I've got a Bhakti Shastri piece of paper. I passed the exam. But did you pass the exam? Because the exam is not, knowledge ticking off. You stole the answers from somebody else anyway. It's putting it into practice. So it's a very dynamic process. Our process is very dynamic. Okay, I've got to get going. I've got to teach disciple course. Gandharva Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.